Anyway, I'm sure that you're all aware that citrus fruit, and especially its peel, are very rich sources of phenolic antioxidants, including a number of different classes of flavonoids and hydroxycinnamides. And a continuing effort with the ARS is to try to increase the, to work on developing markets for these compounds in citrus peel and peel byproducts, and that's a lot of what we're working on now. So the main phenolic compounds in citrus peel are the flavanone and flavone glycosides, polymethoxylated flavones, and a very large number of hydroxycinnamides. Now, in addition to the antioxidant activities that have been widely studied for these compounds have also been studied for other biological activities in a number of different in vitro and small animal trials, yet the number of human studies remains very small. Here we have a list of some of the biological activities of the flavonones in citrus. Now, a lot of these activities have something to do with slowing down, inhibiting the progression of important human disease, chronic diseases in humans. In an early study at the ARS lab in Winter Haven, we found that diets that were rich in the polymethoxylated flavones or in the flavonones were very effective in lowering the levels of the triglycerides, the total cholesterol, the LDL cholesterol, and unfortunately also the HDL cholesterol in the blood serum of hypercholesterolemic hamsters. And subsequent in vitro work that we did showed that these compounds were very effective in blocking the secretion of the apolipoprotein B cholesterol complex from human liver cells. And it did it by these three different mechanisms here: the diacylglycerol transferase, the inhibition of the assembly of cholesterol into the apolipoprotein B, which is the carrier protein for cholesterol in the blood serum. And then these compounds also activated the PPAR receptor on the nucleus of the cells, and this triggers the catabolism of fatty acids. All of these will result in the decrease in secretion of the apolipoprotein B cholesterol complex. Well, the ARS has also been involved in some of the other work with the polymethoxylated flavones, including studies with inflammation. And in some of my first work in this field, we found that these compounds were very effective in blocking the formation of very inflammatory proteins called cytokines by human white blood cells. And this led to a couple of patents, which were then licensed by Next Pharmaceuticals, and now they're selling various products to combat arthritis and cardiovascular disease. Well, currently we have a collaborator in Brazil, Thais Caesar, and her co-workers, and they've made marvelous progress in connecting health benefits with orange juice. They've shown that orange juice improves lipid profiles in hypercholesterolemic humans, and this is very similar to the results that we saw with the hamster study. They showed that orange juice improves the transfer of cholesterol to the HDL molecule. They also showed that in spite of its very high sugar content, orange juice doesn't seem to trigger the inflammatory responses in humans that should occur. And in fact, this German group showed that orange juice apparently helps to prevent these inflammatory responses that are associated with high fat meals. Well, in spite of this marvelous progress, the full development of these compounds into commercial products has yet to be realized, and a lot of this is due to gaps that still exist in our understanding of the pharmacokinetics and modes of actions of these compounds. So some of our more recent work has looked at the metabolism, pharmacokinetics, some of the different classes of compounds in citrus peel and peel byproducts. In this experiment, we fed rats this molecule tangeritin dissolved in corn oil. We saw a very rapid appearance of the unmodified tangeritin in the blood serum at levels at about 0.5 parts per million. And then we saw later appearances of two main metabolites, the 4' demethylated metabolite, and then the glucuronidated metabolite. And you can see that the glucuronidated metabolite is the main compound in circulation. But we can integrate these curves by multiplying the micrograms per mil times hours to get the area under the curve values. And these area under the curve values give us a rough measure of the total exposure of the animals to specific doses of these compounds. So if we look at in this table here, we have the area under the curve values for tangeritin. You can see that the value for the unmodified tangeritin is 4.1. For the 4' demethylated tangeritin, it's 6.0, and for the glucuronide, it's 18.3. So you get a total value of about 28. If my math is right. So in another experiment, we looked at another polymethoxylated flavone that's nearly identical in structure to the tangeritin, except that it has another methoxy group here at the 3' position. And again, we saw very rapid appearance of the unmodified tangeritin in the blood serum, but this time at much higher concentrations up to about 9 parts per million. In fact, even at 12 hours, the levels were close to 2 parts per million. So this is very different from the tangeritin, where the highest serum concentrations of the unmodified molecule was only about 0.5 parts per million. For nobletin, we also saw quite a few different metabolites, aglycones, which lacked any conjugation, and then the glucuronide metabolites. And except for this one metabolite, which we labeled N2, none of these metabolites exceeded 1 part per million in the blood serum. So for the major portion of this time course, the unmodified nobletin was the main compound in circulation. And again, this is very different from tangeritin, where the glucuronide was the main compound in circulation. So this teaches us lesson number one, and lesson number one is in spite of the nearly identical structures of these two compounds, there are very significant differences amongst them in terms of their pharmacokinetic parameters. This table shows the area under the curve value for nobletin. It has a value of 51. I should put my glasses on. So, anyway, it's interesting to begin to compare the area under the curve values, which again represent the total exposure of the animal to these doses, for the flavones like tangeritin and nobletin, and then for a couple of these hydroxylated flavones like luteolin, which has a value of 23 and a pigeon, which has a value of 237, and compare these values to the area under the curve values for the flavonoids like naringin, hesperidin, erysipelagin, erysichthyol, and so forth, where the area under the curve values are range between 1 to 3 parts per million per times hours. So obviously there's a huge difference in the total exposure of these compounds in these animals per doses. And so, and the other thing is that for these flavones, there, at least for tangeritin and nobilitin, there were substantial amounts of the unmodified molecules in circulation, whereas for these flavonoids, we never saw any of the original compound in circulation. They were always glucuronidated or sulfated metabolites. And so it's tempting to wonder what influences these major differences in the area under the curve values and the types of metabolites that are being formed has on the sum total of the biological effects of these different classes of compounds in animals. And that's something that we're studying at the ARS lab in Fort Pierce. Well, one important consideration is the individual contributions from each of the metabolites in circulation to the observed biological effect in animals. And up to recently, we had mistakenly assumed that it was primarily the circulating aglycones that and original molecules that were biologically active, and that the glucuronides and sulfates were basically inactive. And we had reason to believe that from other in vitro experiments, but there's been quite a few reports over the past several years that have shown that these glucuronidated metabolites are in fact biologically active and may in fact be the active species. And just as one example, we have this study by Chene and the co-workers where they looked at the inhibition by the flavonoid metabolites of monocyte and endothelial cell binding during atherosclerosis. And they saw some very profound activity relationships. They showed that metabolites of naringenin and hesperitin coupled at the 7 position were completely inactive, whereas metabolites linked at the 4 and 3 prime positions were fully active. And they showed that both the monocytes and endothelial cells were very sensitive to the presence of these glucuronides, and that these glucuronide metabolites, in fact, alter the gene expression during a cell adhesion and inflammation. So, when we study the health benefits of compounds in citrus and citrus peel byproducts, we first need to do very careful detective work. We need to do structure elucidations of the circulating metabolites. We then need to study their concentrations and time courses. But obviously we also need to go back and analyze the biological activities of each of these compounds. Obviously some metabolites are completely inactive and others are fully active, and it's really hard to predict. And in doing so, then we'll have a better understanding of the mechanisms of action, the sites of actions, and which compounds are responsible for this. And in doing so, then it's going to help facilitate our search for additional compounds in citrus byproducts and citrus peels, for additional biologically active compounds. We'll know what to look for. And I think another area that the work will also go is it'll help guide microbial engineering of these compounds to create compounds with increased bioavailabilities as well as biological activities. And this will then help create new and increased markets for the original compounds, which we'll use as substrates. And so that's the direction that a lot of the, my portion of the byproduct project is headed at the Fort Pierce lab. Thank you.
Showing that incorporation of orange juice, the oranges, say a daily basis, has some health effects?
Yes. So those studies by Dr. Caesar from Brazil showed. And actually, that's a very interesting point that I was discussing with Liz the other day, is that, you know, we have this feeling that these compounds in citrus are, you know, might have some benefit, but we don't really consider them to be as potent as aspirin or you know, some pharmaceuticals. But if in fact she did see those responses, and I'm sure she did, these people were drinking daily doses of about a half a liter to maybe a liter of orange juice. Well, that's a dose of 300 milligrams of hesperidin, and you're getting modification of the lipid profiles in these people. Well, 300 milligrams is not very much. I mean, you take that much just when you take Tylenol, you know, or Advil or something. So it's, you know, you're not choking these people full of hesperidin, and it's kind of interesting.